stand, grab a hymnal. We're going to turn to page 431. 431, I love to tell the story. On the first,
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
From the realms of glory. Page 99, on the first.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship God. worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King.
On the third,
sages, leave your contemplations. Brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations. He has seen his natal star. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King.
On the last,
saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King.
One more song, page 87. Page 87, Joy to the World. Page 87, on the first.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and
within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in a love life's ebb and flow.
Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Oh, my life was wrecked with sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again.
Jesus,
sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face. That is why I shout and sing.
Oh, sometimes he leaves the waters dream. Trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, seeing his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Well, the pastor asked if I could share my calling with you, so I'm going to quickly do that right now, then I'll get right into the sermon. I'm actually called to the country of Hungary, if any of you know where that is. It's in the central of Europe. It's a country that desperately needs the Lord. It's a hardened country. It's more of a country. There's many like third world countries that need the gospel desperately, that need just are truly desperate for the truth. This country has much of the truth, but they're more of a hardened people, and that's how much of Europe is. So, but there's not many missionaries there, and I believe the Lord has called me there, and I'm going to quickly share my calling with you. It was at the age of, like, I believe 11 or something, yeah, 11, or it might have been younger. I saw this. We were putting together this package for the African people, because you know they need things. There was like this mission we were sending this stuff to, and it was like, I don't know, a yearly program or whatever it was, but we were packing up the stuff like towels and Voice of the Martyrs, I guess. But we were packing up these towels and bars of soap and supplies for these people. And I always had a burden for the African people originally. And it was something about it. I just felt like the Lord was leading me or something to be a missionary to an African country. But then there's a magazine that came with the package and was with Voice of the Martyrs magazine. And on the front of it, it said, "Help the hungry people." And at first, I thought that was a country, but it was really the hungry people, the people who need food. And but I, for some reason, the Lord was led me to believe that I must be, because to get His calling done in my life. And later on, after a few years, by like 2 years or something, I looked at the globe, and I was looking at all the different countries, and I wasn't well experienced with all the countries. And I looked in the center of Europe, and right in the center of Europe was a country called Hungary, except it was spelled with an A. So then I'm like doing some more research on the country, and I learned more about it, and I just felt like the Lord was calling me that direction. And I said, "But Lord, I felt like you were calling me, you know, leading me in the area of the black people, ministering to them." And He said, "Well, I use this to get you focused on what you need to do, what I really truly want you to do." And so that's just my calling, and I'm so thankful to the Lord. I continue to pray about it every day and seek the Lord's face, and I just believe He's leading this direction. So if you would pray with me on that, The mission field is very important, and God's calling is very important in people's lives. So I hope that you would pray about that. This sermon goes along good with what I just said. It's servanthood. My whole message is going to be entitled Servanthood. And I'm going to be preaching out of the passage of Titus 1, 12 through 14. These are actually my mom's life verses. I was looking around trying to figure out what verses to use for this sermon, and I just went with this because these are very good verses. Titus 1, 12 through 14. The Bible says here, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. There's not many people today zealous of good works. There's not many people today who are truly doing what the Lord wants them to do. It's the world's condition for you. The world's condition is bad, is sinful, is wicked. And we need to focus on the world's condition and our duty as believers. We need to focus on being a servant to the Lord in these perilous times, as the Bible calls them. People are being flooded with fear rather than the restful truth in these days in the world we're living in. People are into their own thing, their own views, their own evil thoughts of humanity, their own careless spectrum of morality. Through all the disastrous situations of evil, Christians don't believe that hard work is necessary. Instead, most believers sit twiddling their thumbs through despair. These are some excuses you hear from people in the world. Christians who are lukewarm, who really don't want to be productive. They don't want to, you know, get themselves under the hardness of God, the fearfulness of God. Many excuses you hear. I was gonna do something for God, but this coronavirus has stopped my progress. The germ deserves our utmost respect. Rest is biblical. I'm tired of living godly. These are some of the things you hear in this world we're living in. We don't bow down to a germ. We bow down to God. Amen? Amen? We bow down to God because he's worthy of being bowed down to. Yes. We don't bow down to a germ because we think that it might hurt us. Well, I have some news for you. There's a God who can do a lot more hurt to you one day if you don't receive him as Savior. Amen? And if you don't believe in his truth and receive his truth as truth. Amen? It is not time to quit, but it is time to put ourselves into full drive for the work of God's glorious missions. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul didn't say, I retreat toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. No, he said, I press toward the mark. There's going to be some work there. There's going to be some effort there. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to press toward the mark. It's about servanthood. It's not just something that comes naturally. You're going to have to press toward the mark and keep going. Amen? We have reasons to serve. We have reasons to be abounding in the work of the Lord and productive in his missions. There's wonderful, happy, joyful meanings to serving the Lord. And one of them is God is a worthy master. God is a worthy master. Amen? Take your Bibles to Revelation 19:1. Revelation 19:1. The Bible says here, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." The Lord deserves all our glory. The Lord deserves all our honor. In the end, the Lord will win. The Lord's going to be victorious. So we need to stop sitting around in fearful minds thinking that the germ's going to conquer us and that the germ's going to take over the world. No, God is in control of the world, and that's how we need to think of the world. Amen? How we need to think of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah, he will win in the end, and he deserves the power, the honor, the glory, and everything. Amen? That's why he's a worthy master, and we're his servants. We are special, royal servants chosen of God, who is the master. Take your Bibles to Romans 6. Romans 6, 20 through 22. We are his servants. Romans 6, 20 through 22. And the Bible says here, "For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things, whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." The end of those things is death, but the end of the Jesus Christ and the end of Christianity is life. Amen? But now, being made free from sin and we have become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness, in the end everlasting life. Our end is everlasting life. Their end is death and hell. Amen?
Amen.
And there's so many Christians who are living in death, living like they're dead. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says we are to abound in the work of the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as that ye know your labor is not in vain in him. The Bible says God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And being his followers, we are people of the living, not of the dead. And we should stop living like the germ's going to kill us. And it's real, folks, it is. But we need to stop bowing down to the germ, and we need to get some things done for the Lord. Amen? There's way more many souls suffering because of sin, suffering because of unrighteousness, suffering because of the agony and the pain of not knowing the truth. And that it's our duty to go and tell people about the truth. Amen? And we need to stop just sitting, twiddling our thumbs through despair. Amen? In this world of despair, I think it's necessary that we look at the Bible's direction in our life. In a world of vain action, corrupt inventions, and wicked missions, there stands a book authorized by God that we can rest upon. We can rest upon this holy book right here, the Bible. Amen? There's not much else we can rest upon but God's words. Amen? There may be a good friend of yours, a godly friend of yours that gives you good advice, but other than that, the Bible is our main authority. The Bible is our main guideline for how to live our lives. Amen? The Bible stands alone like a mighty fortress in the middle of an ocean of confusion.
Yes.
Right? The Bible is like, if you've ever been in the sea before or any body of water, many times you see like these fortresses or these buildings in the middle of the water. And the Bible is kind of like that. The Bible is like a fortress leading many to the truth in the middle of all this chaos and the sin and this wickedness. There are people who are seeking that and seeking the truth. And we need to never quit till all those people have been saved, till all those people have been reached, because there are people looking for the truth. And we can't just sit around twiddling our thumbs, because there are people who will look up to you if you give them the truth. There are people who will respect you if you give them the truth. And that's why we need to be servants to the Lord, because there's the most blessings in serving him. The Bible brings alive the meanings of godly purpose, doesn't it? It brings alive the meanings of godly purpose. There's not much purpose found in this world, but there's purpose found in the Word of God. And there's purpose, there's millions, innumerable amounts of purpose within the Bible. And this is where God comes in. He is the worthy master. He must direct us in purpose. He must direct us, and we must become servants to Him in purpose, according to the Word of God. Amen. Where would we be had it not been for the glorious direction of God? Where would we be had it not been for the glorious direction of God? We Christians often curl up in a corner, sucking our thumbs in ignorance, acting as if we have no knowledge of what our godly purposes, righteous paths, or infinite blessings of God. Why do we do this? Why do we, get in our little corner and act as if there's nothing to live for, nothing to serve the Lord for? suck our thumbs all day long. But we shouldn't be doing this, right? Amen? We should be, need to stop the thumb stuff and start working for the Lord. Amen. Start using our whole heart, our whole bodies for the work of the Lord. Take a trip to a third world country where people rarely ever receive copies of the Bible. Then it would change your mind about sucking your thumb in your comfortable little corner. Yeah. Right? There's people who need to be reached. I mean, there's so many things that have little meaning in this life that need to be filled up with meaning. And we believers are the ones who can do it with the Word of God in our hands, with the Word of God in our spirits, hearts, and minds, filling us up to tell the truth. And there's just so many ways we can serve the Lord. We need to be servants to Him. It's time we get serious about service, truth, and hard work. Guess what? All I just said about the Bible, our flesh doesn't like that. Our flesh don't like what I just said. And our flesh is going to fight that. But the Spirit is going to promote it. And we need to let the Spirit conquer, overcome, defeat until we can feel that it's won the victory over our flesh. Amen? The Bible hates our flesh and our flesh hates the Bible. But guess what? I love more that our Bible hates my flesh. Amen? Our flesh promotes dirty sin. Our flesh ignores the lost. Our flesh will destroy us if we are not careful. Really, our flesh will destroy us if we are not careful. That's not a kind of passing statement. That's truth. Our flesh will destroy us if we are not careful. The effect of our spirit is our spirit promotes holy truth. Our spirit helps the afflicted and lost. Our spirit will bring us many blessings from God if we listen to it and if we yield to it. Amen? There's too many people not yielding to the Spirit of God in their lives. Turn your Bibles to Romans. Romans 8. One page over. Romans 8, 7 through 9. Romans 8, 7 through 9. And the Bible says here, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Bible says we are to live after the Spirit, not after the flesh. So why are we living after the flesh and not after the Spirit? Right? Why are we not living for the Spirit more often? If only people would realize the joy and the righteousness and the happiness there comes from living after the Spirit. But people just, Satan sets this huge hump that they have to get over this hump to get to the other side. And it's a hard, difficult process. But if you're living by the Word of God every day and praying and seeking His face, it will be easy because the Lord can strengthen you. And the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And He will help you through that. He will help you conquer your flesh. He will help you overcome that. And He holds all power. So we can trust in Him. So many people just living after their flesh so they can never get over that hump to feel the joy and the happiness and the righteousness of the Lord. Because they just don't want to give up their pleasures. They just don't want to give up what they like to do. But if once they do that, once they can get past all that stuff, they do not know what happiness, what joy, what righteousness they will fill up their lives with. And more people need to recognize that God can help us through these things. We must not live after the flesh, but after the Spirit. As the sands of time run out, let the dust of our sinful flesh run out. Amen. As the time is running out, we must let our flesh run out and our evil, wicked ways. We need to be serious about the thing and be servants to the Lord. Another fact about our spirit brings a wholesome, godly atmosphere like nothing else. You can feel the atmosphere in this church, but you can't feel it in the world because the world's living after the flesh and the world is dead because most of them are not saved. But here in this church, you can feel the wholesome, godly atmosphere. Our spirit puts us through a little bit of affliction. There's still some affliction to living for God. It's not all joy. It's not all complete happiness. It's not all easy. But there will be some afflictions. But what did Jesus say? You shall suffer persecution. He said that so that we would be prepared for that and we would prepare ourselves for that. But what does the Bible say? In the Lord Jehovah's everlasting strength. So we need to seek His strength to get through those things. That's what we need to do. Our spirit puts us through a little bit of affliction that we may inherit an eternity of peace. A little bit of affliction that we may inherit eternity of peace. Truly, folks, we need to get serious about this and become servants to the Lord. Because guess what? Our time's running out. I'm serious about this. We're living in the last days. And I believe the Lord could maybe tarry for, I don't know how long. The Lord says we don't know the day of His coming, but He very well could tarry for a while longer, but He may come very soon. You never know. But we need to be prepared. We need to put down the evil works of our flesh that we may live after the Spirit. Are we yielding to the Holy Spirit's leading in our life? Are we yielding? Through this world's condition, the Bible's direction, there's a call for service. It's high time to wake out of sleep. Amen. It's high time to wake out of sleep. People need to be serving the Lord. This is one reason why. There's enough people sleeping. There's enough people sleeping. Amen? And we have a greater cause than any other man-made pathetic cause. It's ridiculous the corruption you see in some of these man-made causes. You can see corruption written all over them. And so many people are blinded to the corruption because they don't live after the Spirit, but they live after the flesh. Guess what? Our cause is to glorify Christ through all we do. Our cause is to make victorious mountains out of dirty, sinful pits. Our mission is to bring floods of truth to deserts where the water of God's truth is dried up. Our goal is to be a simple servant prepared to do our Master's work. What happened to being a simple servant? What happened to being focused on the simplicity of Christ? What happened to just being focused on putting down our flesh and strengthening the spirit. What happened to simplicity in Christ? Amen. Amen? So many people want to mix things up and confuse things. But we need to focus on our duty in this present world. It's time to be a farmer for the holy faith. It's time to be a farmer for the holy faith. Hard, diligent work is necessary to obtain a close walk with God. You can't just say, hey, God, I have a close walk with you when you're living after the flesh all day long. God's more holy than that. What does the Bible say? Be holy for I am holy. You have to be more holy than to just say, oh, Lord, I'm a Christian. You know, the Bible says many in the end times will come into heaven and will say, Lord, 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 I'm saved. Lord, I was a Christian. Won't I be able to go into heaven? Because I'm a Christian. I said I was a Christian in front of tons of people. And then Jesus says, no, you weren't a Christian. You never received me. You lived after the flesh your whole life. And he says, depart from me, workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Because they didn't truly receive Christ. There's many people who claim to Christianity, but they're not even saved, unfortunately. I wish they were saved, because the time's running out. But there's many people who are truly not saved, and they're just saying they are. And we need to be more serious about this. There's many people who are not saved. Hard, diligent work is necessary to obtain a close walk with God. Hard, diligent prayers are necessary to instill power and blessing into the succeeding generations. Hard, diligent prayers. What happened to hard, diligent prayers? So many people want to do everything else but pray. Guess why? Because the Bible says pray without ceasing, and the devil knows that a lot of blessing comes from diligent prayers. So he wants to do everything in his power to stop people from praying. Because he knows that if they can start getting on a streak of continually praying to the Lord every day, they're going to constantly be receiving the power and the blessing of God. And that's his goal to stop. He does not want you to get to that point. If anything, that's one of his biggest things. He does not want you to get to a point where you are constantly calling out to the Lord. And he's been successful at getting many people not to pray. And that's why many people are living in despair, because they don't learn to put their burdens at the foot of the cross and take them to the Lord and let them rest at his feet. Amen? Is your children's prayer vessel full? Is your children's prayer vessel full? Is your children's life more than just a dream catcher? You know, I've heard, this is nothing against Donald Trump, but I've heard him say it. Something about destroying the American dream. Is that what our life is about, a dream? No, it's about God. It's about what he is about, his work in this present world. Amen. It's not just about a dream. It's not just about giving our children what they want. It's about giving them what they need in this present world. It's not a dream catcher. It should be a prayer vessel that we may fill our children's prayer vessels with prayer so they may be filled with the Spirit when they come into this life. Amen? Our children's prayer vessel needs to be more than, needs to be a prayer vessel. It can't be a dream catcher. Catching dreams, it won't last for long. Sorry. All those things will be burned up eventually. All those desires and all those cares, they're not going to last. The Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in him. Guess what? Our labor is not in vain in him. If you're feeling discouraged and you feel like you don't see the results of your labors, guess what? Our labor is never in vain in him. That's a promise from God. And guess what? We can rely on the promises of God. We never have to distrust them or think that maybe they're not the truth. God will reward us for our labors. If they are truly according to his will and according to this word, he will reward us. And, you know, sometimes we just don't have enough faith that the Lord is truly rewarding us for our labors. Sometimes we just get too focused on our problems in the present day. And we need to stop doing that. We need to trust in the Lord. Our labor is not vain in Him. You know, we often use our thumb to encourage our succeeding generations. But what about praying for them? What about fasting for them? What about doing everything in our power to instill the truth in them? This is a big thing you see in our world today. It's not necessarily wrong, but it's surface. You know what I mean? It's many Christians use it to encourage people, but what we need to do to help people is to help people. It's not to simply use our thumb to encourage them. It's to help them in their time of need, to pray for them that God would direct them, to give them the best of what they can have, and that's prayer for their lives. We need to stop the thumb stuff, amen? And we need to start getting being a dedicated servant of the Lord. Turn your Bibles to Matthew. Matthew 2, 1 through 2. Matthew 2, 1 through 2. Now I entitled the sermon Servanthood, and these passages of Scripture will start really getting down to this point, servanthood. Now it says here, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" You see servanthood here. These wise men, if you think about it, if you look at another passage in the Scripture, it says that Jesus was like 2 years old when the wise men actually reached him. But he was born when they were already seeking him. They were already seeking him before he was born because they saw the star in the east. They saw this shining star, and they wanted to come and worship him. So they traveled for 2 whole years just to come and worship the Lord. That's servanthood. That's a servanthood kind of spirit. That takes a lot of effort to come in all that way just to worship the Lord, but they thought him worthy. And do we think God worthy? Because he is worthy in this day, especially in this time. He is worthy. These men displayed a servant's heart through their humble, determined efforts to find the Christ. First of all, these men had to do 3 things to get to that point where they were at, to worshiping Jesus. First of all, they had to examine the Scriptures. They had to examine their scrolls, the prophecies. And it prophesied that there would be a star. And they saw that. They saw that shining star in the east. And they knew that this would come to pass. They knew that it was truly the Christ. And they had to, number two, they had to examine the stars. They had to find where it was, that shining star. They had to look into this mechanism. They had to look at the stars and see where that shining star was. And that's the second thing they had to do. And number three, they had to travel for years to find the Christ. It wasn't just a day journey. It was years they had to travel. And it was on camels. We have cars. They had to travel on camels to go find the Christ. I mean, I'm just saying, folks, these men were determined to find the Christ. That was a lot of effort. They had to go through all this heat. Just think about it. And the way they used to be dressed, they used to, you know, a little bit sometimes overdressed back then, put a lot of stuff. And they were traveling through deserts, number two. They were traveling through deserts, which made them all the more hot. Amen? Especially because they had all this stuff on them. So, but that was a diligent effort to find the Christ. Very diligent effort to find him. These wise men were some wise men, amen? Another story I'm going to take you about servanthood. These wise men displayed servanthood. Another story, go to Genesis 24. Genesis 24. You know, I talked about these men overdressing. You know, there's some people underdressing, not dressing what they should be. It's better that than not having your clothes on, amen? It's better than that than not having half your clothes on and, you know, not living according to the Word of God and being a complete rebel to the Lord. There's many Christians who are not dressing like they should. We should be dressing modestly as the Lord commands us to. Amen. Genesis 24:13 through 20. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water." Now, this is actually Abraham's servant talking. He made a covenant to Abraham that he would go find his son Isaac a wife. So now he's on his journey. This servant is on his journey to go find find Isaac a wife. And in verse 13 it says, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water." Now he's standing by a well of water. "And the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, 'Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink,' and she shall say, 'Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also,' let the same be she that hath that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, and the virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water out of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for all thy camels also until they have done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all the camels. Now, this woman demonstrated servanthood. I mean, talk about doing a lot of work to help this man out. I'm sure that the Holy Spirit was leading in this area. I'm sure God was telling her to do this because that was truly the wife God had for Isaac. So, but she obeyed the Lord and was diligent in her efforts to help this servant. And notice that this servant was on his journey to obey Abraham as he influenced another person, and that other person became a servant. Yeah. That proves the influence we can have on other people, and the Holy Spirit's leading, the power of Christ, that we can have an effect on other people, and we can cause other people to be led by the Spirit of God, by our journeys, our servanthood journeys. But this lady displayed servanthood through what she did. This woman displayed much efforts to be a help to someone else. This woman grasped the meanings of servanthood. This woman was a wise woman, amen. She listened to God and she did a great work, a very diligent work. This woman was a wise woman, just like those wise men were wise to do all that studying, do all that examining of the stars and all that traveling to worship the Lord. And the Lord is worthy of it. I believe God sent those wise men just to show how worthy Christ is, just to show how wonderful he is and that he is worthy of all that diligent effort. Amen. And he deserves our diligent effort in this day. Many people aren't willing to lift a finger for the work of the Lord, but when it comes to thumbs, they are all in. Amen? They're all in for thumbs, but they don't want to lift their fingers to help work. We need to stop this thing, surface Christianity. We need to stop, like I talked about in the popcorn preaching, we need to stop being lukewarm. We need to be hot for the work of the Lord. It's not time to twiddle our thumbs, suck them, or use them to promote surface Christianity. Now is the time to get involved in our Master's work. Amen? It's time to get involved in our Master's work. We don't sit in a corner like... We don't sit in a corner like this. Or twiddling our thumbs or... you know, just using our thumbs to promote surface Christianity, but we use all of our efforts to help the Lord, amen, and promote His glorious missions. Now is the time to get involved in our Master's work. Now is the time to get involved. The Bible says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I love that verse. I press toward the mark. You can't do it without not pressing, without diligent work, without servanthood. Are you a thumb lover or servant-spirited occupier? Are you a thumb lover or a Holy-spirited occupier? Are you a servant to the Lord? And this was my challenge tonight, that are you completely sold out to the Lord? Are you a servant to Him? And are you truly doing what He would have you do in your life? Are you listening to His Spirit and putting down your flesh in this present day? And I'm going to end this sermon with prayer. Dear Lord, I ask that this sermon was a blessing to folks and help them to listen to You more fervently, Lord, and not to be a person that is lukewarm or a person that has never listened to You, is not a good servant at all. Lord, I pray that we would be more diligent servants to You, Lord, and that we would not be, you know, just sitting around twiddling our thumbs, sucking them, or, you know, using them to promote surface Christianity. But I pray we would stop thumbhood and would start getting busy on servanthood. Amen, Lord. And I pray that we would, You would please help us to be diligent in Your work, and that You would fill us with Your peace, and that in this present day, people would realize that You only hold the keys to righteousness and joy and happiness, and that there may be some little afflictions along the way. There may be some afflictions, Lord, but that is that we may gain an eternity of peace, Lord. And I pray that people would realize this, that we'd be filled with Your Holy Spirit, that we would not forsake Your law, that we would love Your word. And please, Lord, help us to be humble and listen to Your Spirit in this present day. And I pray these things in Your precious name, Jesus' name, amen.
We've heard a good message from the Lord through Philip. I don't know if you've noticed, but he used the word press many times. We're supposed to be pressing. He used the word diligent many times. That's what a good servant does. Those are two really good words. And examine yourself. How's your servanthood doing? How much effort are you putting into your servanthood for God compared to what you're doing for the Lord? And that would be a good way to go about it. However the Lord spoke to you, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. What is the number, brother?
397.
Just respond as God has told you to do it, how He told you to do it.